This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes at night.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we'll drink a toast with a shot of the day from Loaded, Velvra, Volvra, and Guns N' Roses Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan. Coming up on the program, as well as Ask the Men's Room, our question, what good or horrible thing did your pet do? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Terrell. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hello.
Hola.
All right, so about 15 years ago, I'm 30 now, so I'm like in middle school. I have two dogs. They're half lab, half Russian Wolfhound, so pretty good-sized dogs. Their names were Shade and Chloe, both females, and Chloe was notorious for getting into the garbage all the time. So I think my mom made the mistake of tossing a bunch of chicken bones one night into the garbage, and needless to say, a few days later, we noticed Chloe was quite constipated. You know, we took her out every morning before I went to school, and just to make sure that they went, and I noticed that she wasn't going. Like, Shade was going just normal, but Chloe wasn't. So my mom got the bright idea, the genius that she is, to go to the pet store and grab a bunch of, like, pet Ex-Lax or stool softeners, and fed Chloe some stool softeners. About a day went by, and still nothing, and then all of a sudden, one day after school, my mom's sitting there saying that, hey, Chloe's been acting kind of funny. And I kid you not even a minute later, she just starts horrifically pooing, like, everywhere. like Mount St. Helens coming out of her behind. So naturally, our reaction is like, oh, no, like freaking out, right? So we go chasing Chloe, and she's scared because obviously we're freaking out, and which makes her freak out. So she's running away from us, like, while poo is still spewing out of her behind. So she's just running all over the house. She's freaking out.
Did you have carpeting or did you have wood floors?
Carpeting.
Oh, no.
Make it better.
Okay.
How long did it take to get all that ass out of your carpet?
At least a couple weeks, I'd say, for it to be. I mean, in some spots, there are still, like, minor stains.
Your parents' home now, you can still find where the dog pooped?
Yeah. Yeah, except that house is now probably, like, a squatter's house.
Ah, okay.
So it's probably even worse.
Yeah, it's probably human poop. I was on vacation, and we had two dogs at the time, and we had a woman who was certifiably crazy house-sitting and taking care of the pets.
Did you know she was crazy before you went on vacation?
I think I had a pretty good idea that she was crazy based on other stories that I had heard that made me think that she was somewhat delusional. But
so
I thought that she
was
responsible, and she was, like, in the pet world, and she house-sit and visited and took care of pets as far as come over a couple times a day, walk the dogs, feed the dogs, make sure the dogs are okay and all this stuff. So I think we're gone for a week's vacation. We never really get any notice that anything's really wrong. Get home and open up the door, and the first thing that hits me is just this horrific smell. Like
smell
nothing I've ever smelled before in my life. I look to the basement there, and the slider door of the house is wide open.
Jeez.
It's wide open. All the windows are open. The lights are on. In other words, the dogs had access to go inside and outside of the house whenever they wanted to. The one dog had apparently gotten quite sick and had absolutely destroyed the carpet in the lower room. I mean, there was, honest to God, there probably wasn't a 2-foot square patch that didn't have something on it. That dog utilized every inch of that carpet to use the bathroom, peed, pooped. I'm not sure.
Well, that's efficient.
If she ever came to even check on the dogs, if the dogs were fed, have no idea. But in this genius's way of trying to clean this up, so what she did is this. She took bleach and she poured bleach all over the floor in the bathroom and started scrubbing it with a mop. Don't ask me.
I'm just...
So the carpet is soaking wet, and then...
With bleach?
Yes, and then she took a vacuum cleaner to vacuum all the poop up into the vacuum cleaner, all right?
Your vacuum cleaner.
Brand new vacuum cleaner. I can see inside this vacuum cleaner, because it's one of those that has, like, the...
Yeah, the clear tube
thing. The clear tube, and you know, it's bagless and all that
stuff. That's what mine looks like.
It's in, it's spackled in crap. The entire inside. Not only that, the carpets.
What kind of vacuum cleaner? Because I know it wasn't cheap.
It was a Dyson. And it was the first Dyson I'd ever bought. You know what I mean? So I was like, I was, in a weird way, very fired up about my vacuum cleaner. I figured I'm never going to have to buy a vacuum for, like, you know, 30 years, right?
Until you suck the poo out of your carpet.
The carpet was so wet when you stepped on it, you could see the water come up.
Jeez, man.
She vacuumed that carpet. I cannot believe that we didn't come home with a dead body that had been electrocuted.
How did she not die?
In the carpet. We had to rip all the carpet up. And then after this, like, she had a business, she shut her business down, and she disappeared.
I was going to say, did you get in contact with her?
Well, she disappeared. I mean, it wasn't anything related, I don't believe, to what happened at our house.
But what did you, I mean, you must have talked to her after you got home.
No, I didn't talk to her personally. Like, what am I going to do? I mean, like, you know, I had somebody else take care of that, try to reach her, find out what the hell was going on.
Did she ever get hold of her?
I think she just went Fruit Loops. I mean, I'm pretty sure this was the same person that believed they dated Dave Matthews.
Okay.
So this is just a delusional human being in general.
I say, does Dave Matthews know that?
No, he doesn't. He's been married with kids for years. Right. I'm sure this would become quite the shock to him. You know what I mean? If he found out he accidentally had a girl.
I cannot believe she tried to vacuum his dog nuts. Poop.
God almighty. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe we didn't have a dead body in here. So I basically then had to go to the grocery store and rent one of those carpet cleaners. So right. I bought like every single extra bottle of thing they have, like super duper carpet spot cleaner, super duper animal whatever it is, like every single little different thing other than the actual detergent that you put in there to try to prep this thing. I spent like 2 days with that thing trying to get the crap out. That thing then sucked in a ton more crap to their unit, even though I tried to get as much up as I could.
Wait, when you take this back, like,
I mean, I tried to do the best I can, but I mean, my God, right? So I did. So I ended up just ripping the whole thing out. There was nothing.
How much did this cost you by hiring an idiot?
Oh, my God. I mean, flooring. I mean, right. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't cheap. So I didn't know what to do. So, like, I took all the carpet up, and I'm like, it was one little room. So I was like, we're putting some type of hardwood laminate down.
Right.
That way, if this happens again, you know what I mean? It's not going to be the end of the world. But my God, I mean, it was mind-blowing. I cannot believe I did not come home to a dead person sprawled out, spread eagle in my floor of poop.
I know that sounds horrible, but I would laugh at you if you told me that. It was unbelievable. Dude, I came home, my dog shit was dead in my basement.
It was unbelievable. And like, in the meantime, like...
Dude, I hate to tell you, I went to high school with a guy, and his brother died that way.
What, vacuuming
water? He had a high school job. He was vacuuming the store, and there was a patch of whatever, wetness, and it electrocuted him. He died.
Yeah. That's why I can't believe that didn't happen to her.
That's why, right, every time you tell that story, I'm like, how did she not die?
She's probably too crazy to die.
She might have been zapped real good and just didn't even affect her. You know what I mean? He's trying to...
Suddenly she can speak Spanish.
What day is it? You know what I mean? The next thing you're like, I need to get out of this business.
Something happened.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to go to doctorate school. What good or horrible thing did your pet do? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Travis. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So I have a dog, English Springer Spaniel, got into that Costco size candy bars, the full size candy bars.
Yeah.
When I was at work, my wife, I don't know where she was. She wasn't at work, but I got home, and the whole box of candy bars was gone. I got two dogs. One of them I know ate it. So a couple days go by, go outside, and there's legit full-size, unopened candy bars in the backyard.
Jeez.
Oh. Do you see that at home?
Would you give him out at Halloween?
Like half of them. He ate the whole box. It's like
24 candy bars.
Wow.
And we found, well, my five-year-old son found like four candy bars, you know, Snickers, or Three Musketeers. He's like, Daddy, I found candy bars in the backyard. I'm like, no, don't open those.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Your kid thought he hit the jackpot. Like, dear God.
Same dog that crapped all over the bottom of the house.
Day.
Got into a bag of Halloween candy, and it was the bag that is the Good Bar, Crackle, Hershey. So you have a little plastic wrapper that goes around the outside of it, but the inside is a foil wrapper.
Yeah.
So the dog got into that bag and ate half the bag of candy before we got home. All right. So a couple days go by. Dog's having normal bowel movements. Nothing has really changed. But I swear to God, at one point in time, Miles pooped this log.
Yes, his dog's name was Miles.
That had, it looked like it was a Halloween decoration. Or it looked like a Christmas decoration. It was like, there was all this tin foil that was kind of in this one log.
So it was kind of a pretty turd.
So there was like red crackle wrapper, yellow Mr. Good Bar wrapper. Couldn't really see the Hershey wrapper as much. And then all of this foil. It was almost like someone wrapped a turd for their lunch in aluminum foil. You know what I mean? So they could bring it to work and eat it.
Hey, sandwich.
I mean, I looked down
turd.
And it was just like, oh my God, man. He looked like he pooped a satellite dish or something weird. Like, I couldn't explain it. You know what I mean? It was this weird object. You know?
Right.
But it was like, I don't know. It's just like covered in foil. The whole thing had foil going through it. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I feel like if you're going to do that, that's the time you can leave a dog turd. Right, you should pick it up. Yeah. I'm like, look.
Well, this continued the next couple of new bowel moves. I was wondering when the foil days were going to end. I mean, I think obviously he got all of it out of
him. You know the worst thing? This wasn't my dog's fault. But I'll take the dog out for a walk. I was always responsible, always brought a plastic bag, always going to pick it up. And this is on, it's one of those like nationwide neighborhood nights. You know, like people kind of close off their streets, all the neighbors come out.
Yeah, go out of the neighborhood.
Right. So it's that night, and I'm walking this dog, man, and it poops about 20 feet away from where a street has closed down. There'll be 75 people out there. They're kind of chatting with me. They're waving. Oh, you're hungry. All the nonsense that people say. My dog drops the deuce, and I reach in my back pocket, and the bag has blown out of my pocket, right? So it's not there, man.
Oh.
And now I'm the guy in front of the entire neighborhood who looks like I don't clean up after my dog, but there's just nothing I can do. I'm not going to pick it up with my bare hand. Right. I'm not going to kick it out in the street. So I walk back, and I cannot tell you how awkward and bad I felt. But every time I saw one of these neighbors, when I'm walking my dog, man, just the looks they would give me.
Jesus.
And I'm like, it's the one time. I did not know everyone in the neighborhood would be seated next to where my dog pooped. I'm sorry.
They cleaned it up and talked about it.
I know. I'm that guy.
From the band Loaded, Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan joins us coming up here next right after emails from the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan coming up on the program. First time for a few emails in the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com.
You've got mail.
All right, so jump into the birthdays here. That way we can get to Duff. All right, to Ola Bacholas, I'm hoping to send a birthday shout-out to my son Israel today. He is turning the big 11. I'd love for you to tell him that Dad loves you, turd. Can he get a little kid face sandwich and a big old Leroy Jenkins? Thanks, guys, for all that you do.
Fish salad.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins.
Happy birthday to Kurt Stearns. He works at a lumber mill. Can the dirty Germans do some talking about wood, please?
Yeah, I like to talk about the wood all the time. Now that I'm older, they call mine petrified wood. Yeah, might be a little old, but it is always, always hard.
Yeah, see, I love the sawmill, because it reminds me of my own wood. Clean, pristine, looks great.
And covered in sprouts.
Yeah, this is amazing when you see a brand new 2x4.
Tell us, I want to give a birthday shout out to Casey and Tommy, the best niece and nephew in the world. They're listening in Illinois. So please give an original fish sandwich and a big old bong rib. Thanks, guys.
Fish sandwich.
Illinois, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What do you call something from Illinois? Illinois?
Illini?
Illinoisan?
Is it the
Well, it's the fighting Illini.
Illini.
Illinois? Illinoiser?
I would just make it Illy. You got a mic?
Illinoisan.
Illinoisan.
Oh.
Yo, bro, you all Illinoisan.
Bitches, I'd like to wish my brother.
Most of them I meet, I just call a Chicagoan.
Yeah. Right.
Brother, Stefan is 28 years old. Can I get an oh, look out? A what the F was that in a double shot of Steve's Getz? Thank you, guys.
Uh-oh, look out.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is that, bro?
Get.
Home of Cholos today is my guy Ryan, pronounced Chewy's birthday. Would you please give me your penis is too small and the sexy Germans talking about wrestling? Thanks, guys, and love the show from the girlfriend.
Yeah, I want to wrestle with you very much so. My finishing move is like your nickname, Chewy.
Yeah, wrestling is great, man. My favorite part is really just how wet the hair is. All the time.
Yeah, no half Nelson, but half Husky.
Yeah, I'll give you the full Nelson.
His penis is named Nelson.
Yeah, you can handle my Gable grip.
Guys, it's my gal pal Stephanie's 30th birthday today. She's never had a birthday party, and I was going to throw her one. Then she took off to Disneyland for Dapper Days. Dapper Days?
Oh, I don't know that one, but I imagine that people dance or dress like dapper-like.
Okay. Could I get a your penis is too small and now hitting the window and some dirty German talk? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I want you to call me Scott because tonight I want to fertilize your lady garden.
Yeah, today you're going to find out what pie tastes like. Shepherd's pie. Relax.
He's a shepherd.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of this Dapper Day. Is it a bunch of people in zoot suits?
Yeah, I mean, Dapper, I think zoot suit. Can you even look Dapper now?
This be tough.
Mm-hmm.
You can be handsome, you can look well put together, but you rarely call anyone Dapper, right?
Yeah, that's a specific look. You're at the dapper. Kentucky Derby. You look dapper.
You know what?
Yeah,
you're right. There you go.
Bitches, happy birthday to me. It's Patrick. I'm 37 years old today. I operate heavy equipment and install underground utilities for a living, and I don't think I can maintain my sanity without you guys and Bobbin. Would like a couple of gets from Thrill and the Dirty Germans talking about how much they like playing in the mud. Congrats on show 3000.
Get!
Yeah, I like playing in the mud. Where is your muddy place? I want to jump on your mud hole like Peppa Pig.
Yes, we love this mud puddle. A giant one. Then when we both jump in, joke's on you.
Yeah, like they say, two heads are better than one.
Guys, I'm 38 today. Would love a shout-out. And happy birthday from Wobbin, please, in her dirty German. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks. That's from the original Hellboy.
Ja, dein Brot ist so nass jetzt.
Your guys, bros are so nasty. That's what I heard.
Smell like kraut. 42 today, and the adult children have already called. Always listen to your show when the teenagers are walking in from school as I'm preparing their last meal for the day. I haven't snapped yet.
Oh, Jesus.
Can I get a your penis is too small and a fish sandwich? Thanks, guys. That from Mandy.
Fish sandwich.
All right, guys, here you go. Happy birthday to you.
Yaws and Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefly.
Coming up, we're going to drink and toast with the shot of the day. But first, just a couple days ago, we had the unique opportunity to sit down and talk with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan.
Truth be told.
Yeah,
we sat down here. She stood the whole time.
Yeah, just the whole time. We were going to have him in. He's got a brand new one out with Shooter Jennings. The album is called Tenderness, and Duff is about ready to go and launch on, I want
to
say,
10-15
dates here in North America. And maybe he and Shooter Jennings will go out and do more shows. But so Duff is coming in to talk about that project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, we did not know this, but his lovely and beautiful and much more talented wife, Susan McKagan, also came in, too. And ironically enough, she was in town to do her own book signing.
Mm-hmm.
So they walked in the studio, and as you know, with our interviews, they kind of go wherever they're going to go. So
I don't know if you call them interviews. It's just more like someone's here, we start talking, things go off the rails. One thing I want you to keep in mind, okay? None of us do this before this interview, but after the interview. Ted confesses to us, he says. So just keep this in mind when you listen.
The entire one.
When you listen to this, however long it is, just know that your very own D. Ted Smith was holding in a very bad fart.
From a chocolate bar?
He was like, man,
There was a few beverages, and I decided to eat a chocolate bar before bed. And the chocolate bar was working its sweaty way out.
Right when we started, you had to fart.
Yes.
The entire
time.
But
one you know you can't let out.
Right. Okay. It's that bad.
So let's go back in time to Duff and Susan McKagan. Let's go back in time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely unbelievable. World famous, incredible, talented. You know him. Ladies and gentlemen, Susan McKagan is here.
Yes.
And author, model, swimming suit designer. I'm missing so much here, aren't I? Mom.
Yeah.
Wife.
Yes.
And Duff McKagan, who is your husband, who is a musician, I understand.
I gave her a ride here.
That was nice. Well, you're here for her book signing.
I am, yeah. We have a lot going on as a couple right now, it seems. It suddenly all culminated together. She wrote this amazing novel. And I've written a couple books. I've written a ton of columns.
We've read them.
Right, and it's like... But how do you write a novel?
Well, it took her 9 years. Come on.
Yes, it was a labor of love. Ladies and gentlemen,
Were you worried when it came out? Were you allowed to read a little bit of it beforehand?
So I was worried, like, she kind of kept it all close to her cuff. And she was working, and she taught me how to write. Let's not get it twisted. Back when I went to Seattle U and stuff, I didn't know grammar or anything, and she's like, honey, and she taught me how to type and all of this, right?
Some other words.
Yeah. You were getting a finance degree, not doing much at the time.
Well, I had to write a lot at CLU, and she really taught me how to write. So I don't want to take anything away from her, but her writing this novel, you know, that's a whole different thing. I have no understanding. She's written for the Huffington Post, and she's a great writer of like 2,000 word columns for Huffington Post. A novel is a whole different thing. And so she got all the way to getting her Rare Bird book deal, and then she let me read three times.
Okay. Now, were you writing this?
A lot of rejection.
Were you writing this when you were on the road with Duff's band thing?
Yeah, that's what was so cool about it, because I could still, you know, be with my husband, be with my kids, be at home in my pajamas, be on an airplane and write. You can take it wherever you are.
All right, listen, if your book ever gets booked to an option for a movie, I just want to roll in the movie. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, I could see you in there. Yes, there's some really
cool characters. He could be
cool
like
characters.
Hawk.
Yeah.
In the book,
yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I want to get to the point. So I finally get to read this thing, and I'm nervous. Like, what if, like, I don't know, and what am I going to see to my wife, you know? And I read these three chapters, and I couldn't put it down. Like, I was a page turner, literally. And so I got done, I'm like, okay, I need three more chapters. And she had it, and I just kind of blazed through this story. Part of me was amazed that my wife had written this thing. I read a lot of books. I read every night. So and I read good authors, and this was as good as anything I've read. And the story, she mixed like five different stories together. And it's just, it's in the 90s. And she got all this 90s stuff so correct.
Do you remember it was a different perspective on what you recalled, but that was the real perspective?
It's a female protagonist perspective. It's from a female's voice. We always, all these rock stories are
all
love
the
stories
style,
are always,
you know,
like through dude stories.
Rhapsody,
through
dude's A Star Is eyes. Born. It's mainly through the male point of view. So this is kind of fun and different because it's got a lead female protagonist.
That's the role I want.
So it's cool, but it does weave back and forth between her and then this guy Johnny, who's, you know, and this huge band on the cusp of superstardom, and then what ensues is this, like, you know, all the ups and downs of like being involved in that world, from, you know, modeling and painting to like rock and roll and, you know, debauchery and sex and infidelity and fame and addiction and like,
yeah, there was some
really
stuff in there, like with the
in.
Drugs and the sex. I'm like, whoa,
went all
okay.
the way in.
So, you know,
yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to watch The Dirt with Nikki, the Nikki Six?
Yeah, that was great.
Netflix. Now, how realistic was that for you? I know you were there in 84, 85 when you
84.
Were
84.
Yeah.
I mean, the 80s, let's just admit it. I got asked this question the other day about now and the 80s and like PC-ness and the 80s were a different time. It was debaucherous on both ends, male and female. It was just a different time. But we did go out on tour with them in 87. Guns did on the Girls tour. I can never say those two.
Three of them.
Girls tour. Even back then, and well, probably because I was drinking back then. But we got out on tour with them, and it was like professional, like drugs, where they had radios and they had numbers for different drugs, and their whole chicks thing and all of that was like, it was professional.
It was a full-time job, as you
said. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's kind of nice that it's a well-oiled machine. Somehow it sounds less debaucherous.
Right, exactly. So this time you go on the road, and you're seeing the world, and you're seeing what's going on around you, and I guess that was kind of the inspiration for Tenderness. While she's writing that book, you're writing a different type of album.
Right. Well, I was watching, like everybody else, when we started rehearsing for this 2.5-year tour, it was January of 2016. So all of these kind of the debates were going on. And I started getting sucked into the three cable news channels and sucked into Twitter. And there was Bernie, like my daughters and their age groups were into Bernie. There was a bunch going on, and a bunch on the Republican side. And there was a guy who was a reality show star, like saying these things. And you were just like, get sucked into it. And she would tell me, my wife would tell me, stop watching the news. And I'd have like on different shows, and mm-hmm. I'm smart enough to know that they're sucking us in, and they're selling ads, and their viewerships are going up. And this time around, I'm putting down the news and putting down the Twitter and doing these touristy things. You get out and you talk to people, and you don't have this noise around you. And we play these big shows where nobody asks who you vote for to come see our show. It's not talked about. It's just a celebration.
It's escapism.
And we've played in Muslim countries where, you know, women in full head coverings have devil horns out and are rocking the F out. And you know, so you get to see this celebration. We did this for 2.5 years, and I was talking to people, and this divide that they were talking about, I just didn't see. Like, you go and talk to somebody, you're talking about your sports team, you're talking about the architecture of Monticello, you're talking about Thomas Jefferson. And I never kind of butted heads with anybody, and I realized that, you know, the America I know is the one, like, after 9/11. You know, you remember that, we all remember that. The month after that, no planes were flying. Every neighbor had each other's back. Mm-hmm. You'd go to the grocery store, everybody had everybody's back. Like, are you okay? You know, you cool? You cool? And we rose up together as a country, and nobody asked who you voted for. And that's the America I know. News and whatnot is making a lot of money right now and stirring these political, that's the way they're doing it right now. But I read so much history that I know this too shall pass.
Right.
And we'll be angry about something else, I guarantee you, in 2 years. Something always, completely always different. Right. So it was going to be a third book, and it became this record called Tenderness. And it's ideas about sort of healing. And I wrote about homelessness, and mainly from Seattle viewpoint, drug addiction, the passing of Chris and Scott Weiland and Chester Bennington and Prince. It's wrapped around a song called Tenderness, which begins the record, and the last song on the record called Don't Look Behind You, which is just, we're moving on forward. Don't dwell on the things in the past. We're going to be okay together.
And this book, this album does tell a story like a book. As far as the song's structure and in the way that's all...
It's a concept album, yeah.
And you're working with Shooter Jennings back...
Man, yeah.
Like, how does that happen? Do they come to you? Do you go to them?
I've known Shooter since he moved to L.A.
Okay.
Before I even knew he was Waylon Jennings' kid, he was in this rock band called Stargun, and they opened for Loaded twice. Shooter was one of those lifers. He was 21. I recognized him as a lifer. And we've stayed in touch this whole time. His solo works at Black Ribbons, I don't know if you know that record, and his new record's amazing, but he works with all kinds of people, and he just had done the Brandi Carlile record and sent him some
Marilyn
of the...
Marilyn Manson, too.
He's writing the Marilyn Manson record right now. I mean, the guy's
he's
all
a
over the
place. Man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Production, yeah.
And he develops video games, you know, like this guy sees all over the place, yeah.
I feel so lame. I mean, like, honestly, you guys, right, authors, you got the new album, you're working with the band, and it turns out that this guy that you're working with in the band is also developing video games, and I'm like, I'm just drinking a Coke, listening to
people. Just remember, it took me 9 years.
I know, but in 9 years, you know what I've done? Road, so. Nothing.
Well, yeah. Susan McKagan, thank you so much for stopping by, and congratulations on the new book. And
your husband,
I hope your bands do well, the Shooter Jennings Project, Tenderness, I know that's
it's coming out.
We're playing the Showbox June 16th.
Last show on the tour? Is that maybe going to continue a little
last bit? Show on the U.S. tour. Yeah, right. Okay. So,
international. Oh, getting the stamps. Get your stamps.
I'll get some more stamps on this tour.
And we like the Guns N' Roses thing you did, too, by the way. That was a great show. That was fantastic.
Kids had it. They got that moxie. People are going to like them, damn it.
Yeah, that's been it's been the time of our lives. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
There you go. So nice.
Yeah, Susan McKagan and her husband.
And apparently, Robin told, I guess she was worried about coming in because apparently, what did they say, we're ruthless or something like that?
You are ruthless.
We're not ruthless.
Ted and I don't scare anybody. Robin is innocent. She doesn't hurt anybody. Mike's the nicest guy difference. In the world. Yeah.
Hey, man, I can't do anything about this. This is the way America is right now, right?
But a big thanks to Duff and Susan McKagan. There you go. Coming up, we'll drink a toast with a shot of the day. The return of Ask the Men's Room is coming up next. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Come up to the round profile this. Yes, we'll drink and tell us with a shot of the day, but first.
It's been said that there are no stupid questions. We disagree. Because you keep asking them.
Will I ever find love? Why is the sky blue? Is that rash an STD? Is the world round? Is my mom a whore?
Questions that need answers. And yes, we can help. This is Ask the Men's Room.
If you have a question for any of us here in the men's room, just send us an email to the men's room at mensroomlive.com. Make the subject Ask the Men's Room and ask away. All right, start with this one. It says, guys, it seems clear you do not like the voice guy that did your Men's Room Rules intro clip. You have replaced most of your old audio clips within the last few years, but not that one. If you dislike this guy enough to comment on it over the air, why not replace the audio clip? That from Dustin.
You know, I emailed him back earlier, and it was real short and sweet. I said, honestly, because we enjoy making fun of him.
Yeah.
And he responded.
It's not that we don't like the guy. No one ever said that.
Oh, no, it's not about him.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible piece of production. But it's so bad. Like, right. It's just so bad that we think it's hilarious. It's like, I don't know, it's like a pug, right? People think pugs are cute because the truth is they're just so ugly they manage to cross that threshold.
Yeah, here it is.
Like, and now, the Men's Room presents Men's Room Rules.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of crap.
That was the only thing he ever did for us.
So nobody's late to make fun of it. Yeah, honestly. That's really it. We're petty. We're petty people.
Ola Macholos, good day to you and yours. On the Men's Room poll a few days back, it was about peanut butter, and I was curious what peanut butter brands all five of you prefer when it's creamy or crunchy for your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Stay beautiful, that from Rainier.
I did not realize the power of peanut butter and jelly, but to answer your question, Jif, man, tried and true. That is the motherlode. Hell yeah.
I go Skippy Extra Crunchy.
Skippy's not bad.
Creamy Jif.
Creamy Jif. Wobbin?
I'll go Skippy Creamy, and for crunchy, Home Plate, if you can find it, is amazing.
Home Plate. Okay. Here is another question about food. Guys, in our house, we use three basic hot sauces. The hellish fiery stuff is on the top of the shelf. So in my personal order, number three, Frank's Red Hot, number two, Tapatio, and number one, Tabasco. Which one is each of your favorites, and what kind of food do you use it on? That from Sir Jolly Joe, head writer of the Men's Room.
Joe. I was going to say, Frank's Red Hot, and I can... I mean, like the commercial says, I could put it on a ton of stuff.
I can put it on anything. I love Tabasco, but you know what, man? Frank's Red Hot and Tabasco, they taste very different to me. So it really depends what I'm eating. If I'm going like Mexican tip, then chances are I'm going to use Tabasco. Anything like that. Mm-hmm. Any kind of barbecue, something like that, and save the Frank's Red Hot.
I would say Frank's and Cholula are the ones I use.
Okay, and that's not a bad call either. That's why I go Tapatio. Mexican food, if I'm going to go Tabasco, it's more on something like a New Orleans-style cuisine, a little bit more like oysters or whatever. And Frank's Red Hot I use for wings, and you know what I mean? Like you say, it can go on anything. One more. Guys, I'm going fishing in the Chesapeake for my bachelor party in a few weekends. I'll be spending a night in your old stomping grounds of Baltimore.
Ooh.
Well, it's a good spot for some crabs and beers.
Anywhere.
Thanks, guys. For all the good work there. That from Jim.
This is easy, Jim, and I'm not making this up. Anywhere you go, you can get good crabs and beer in Baltimore, period.
Where do you go for your crab bomb?
Crab Bomb is down at Jerry Seafood. That's if you're in PG County, but I always go to H&M for crab cakes.
And I also want Alexander's in Fells Point.
And G&M has good crab cakes.
Or G&M. What did I say?
G&M. You're thinking of the bar here.
Yeah.
Or not H&M, the store.
H&M.
Okay.
I go to H&M and eat crab.
I wish they had it.
They kicked me out.
Yeah, if you have any questions for us, any of us here in the men's room, just shoot us an email to the men's room at mensroomlive.com. Make the subject Ask the Men's Room and ask away. All right, Wobbin, we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve Thrill Hill to find out who they're toasting.
Yes,
we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. Today we toast 29-year-old Gabriel Molina from Miami, Florida. And on Saturday night, he was in the Florida Keys driving a Ferrari, obviously listening to 1210 The Man, because the guy has taste. But as he's flying around in his Ferrari, no one, by the way, knows if he's borrowing it or renting it. A cop spots him doing about 75 miles an hour in a 45. So the cop tries to pull him over, but Gabriel took off, started going 100 miles an hour. Eventually, the cop caught up to him, and when he stopped at a gas station, the cop asked Gabriel, hey, man, why were you trying to outrun me? And the guy just said, honestly, man, I didn't know you were there. It's a Ferrari. They go fast. I apologize. And all of that would have been fine until Gabriel's girlfriend did, which you hope your girlfriend never does. Turns around, looks at the cop, and says, she definitely saw you. He decided to try to outrun you. So as a result, Gabriel was arrested for fleeing and eluding.
He got weed.
That's exactly it.
He got weed.
She's like, nah, he saw you. Thanks, baby.
Jesus.
So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy. So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitchola.
Let's get a contest online for profile. This will take caller 9 now at 844-999-HOLA.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.